Let us hear your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you know God's word is anointed? Amen. We don't need to pray for his word to be anointed. We need to pray for the people who are speaking to be anointed, right? To listen to him. Can you cut the lights on for me back there so I can see people? I like looking at people in the eye. I like seeing you smile before I get you, right? That's how it happens. John did it to me a couple weeks ago, man. He made me smile. I was smiling, and he just popped me. I was like, wait a minute. You're not supposed to do that. I'm the preacher. But how many of you know preachers got issues too, yeah? All right, so today, man, we're going to start a series that I want you guys to hear my heart on before we get started. And it's God never said that. So this is the thing about the Word of God and about where we're at right now. We hear things like God wants you to be happy, you know, do what you believe is in your heart that you should do, and he won't give you more than he can handle. It's okay what you believe, and we use the scripture to convince ourselves that that's what it says. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to read some scripture. I'm going to read a verse to you. I added some stuff in, and I sent it to Aaron late last night. So you're going to have to write down some extra scriptures and some extra points on there. Because how many of you know, I put it all together, and then I go through it, and then I change half of it, right? So the scripture I want to start out with this morning is 2 Timothy 4:3. You guys ready? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but will have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. And fulfill your ministry. Now, not every one of us is called to be an evangelist. We are all called to evangelize. Okay? There's a difference between the two. We're all called to bring people to Christ. It's called the ministry of reconciliation, right? But this is what happens with us. I've been guilty of it before, and I guarantee if you've been honest, if you will be honest, then you have been in this place before. But the problem is we take half of the statement and make it a truth in our life. Right? We take a portion of what is actually said, and we take the portion we really, really like, and then we put the rest of it out. Right? That is what is known as a half truth. How many of you know it's really hard to fight a half truth? Because there's truth in it. And the first thing that happens when you say, hey, wait a minute, that's not right. Oh, you're going against what God's word said? It says in there this. Do you know it says an eye for an eye? And it says that's not the way to be, right? But I can quote an eye for an eye. And I can say, hey, man, look, the Bible said it. Let's do it. Because I want to do that, right? As a husband, I can say this. Wives, submit yourself to your husband. I'm going to read that one to you. That's a good one. I'm going to read that one to you. You guys ready? Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the house, and the wife even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now that sounds really, really good if I'm the husband, and I want you to listen to me, right? I want April to do exactly what I say. I'm going to quote that scripture. But I don't keep on reading down where it says this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved. Why do I cry? I don't know. Maybe because... Maybe because I see what the word tells me to do. Then I look at my life and it doesn't line up with it all the way like it should. I mean, I'm not a bad person, I promise you. But do you know what? Being not a bad person, again, I'm getting into my next messages, is not going to get you where you need to be.
That's
right. So, let's get back to this part. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Right? In the same way, husbands should... I'm skipping down. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it, cherished it, just as Christ did the church. Do you know if you treat each other the way that you should, you won't have a problem in your relationship that you can't overcome? So the half-truth of that statement is, wives, do everything your husbands say, because the Bible said it, right? That's not technically what it said. But if I want to make it say that, how many of you know I can quote some scriptures and say some crazy stuff that's not actually in there? This is what I want us to do over the next couple of weeks. 1 John 4:1 says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, this message isn't to dog on people, okay? I'm not going to talk about Christian TV. I'm not going to talk about all these. Of course, I just did say it, but I'm not going to talk bad about them. I'm not going to say that they're wrong. I'm not going to say any of that. What I want us to do is to look at what the Word of God actually says in these instances and apply it to our lives, right? So we have a bunch of scriptures that are on this paper. I've got some that I'm going to give you. I've got some that I'm going to read out in a minute that aren't on the paper that if you want them, you'll just have to get them later because I'm going to go through them really, really, really fast because I want to tell you something about what it says. The scripture tells us this. This one's on your notes. Psalms 97:12 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks in his holy name." Now the New Living Translation in that same verse says this, "May all who are godly be happy." Right? We take portions of the scripture and say God wants us to be happy. And I believe with all my heart, he's our Father, that he wants us to be happy. But I don't believe he wants us to be happy in everything. I'm going to go through it. Some of y'all, I just lost you. I saw on your face, you're like, wait, what? I saw it. And let me go through this first, because how many of you know we have different theologies that are out there that although parts of them came from the scripture, they're not what the scripture says. Again, prosperity. Do you know the scripture talks about us being prosperous? Talks about God blessing us. It says it time and time again in the Word. But there are other things that have to go with that in order for the prosperity of the blessing to come. One of those things is obedience, according to Scripture. Right? So everybody wants the windows of heaven to open, as Christopher was saying. Everybody wants the windows of heaven open and a blessing to be poured out and the devourer to be revealed. Everybody wants to do that, but they want to leave out the part before that that says, bring the tithes and offerings into the storehouse, okay? That's a portion. That's my giving talk for today. You guys ready? You like that one? but this is the thing. There are so many other times in the scriptures that it says, we want our land restored, right? We want to see God move in our lives, but we don't want to humble ourselves and pray. We don't want to humble ourselves. We want God to do what we want him to do. Again, those things are in the scriptures, but they're used wrong. They're used so that we can make it our lives be what we want our lives to be and say, God, you said you were going to do it. That's not what happens. And one of the things that I know, even before I became a Christian, and I've said it, man, when you come to God, your life's you're gonna be happy. You're gonna be happier than you've ever been. And to an extent, that's a true statement. Because my life right now is better than it's ever been because of God and what he's done. My relationships are better than they've ever been because of God and what he's done in my life. All these things are true, but you have to have the beginning. You have to have the beginning. The theology of happiness, man, is one that we hear. And it basically is what makes you happy must be right. And whatever makes you unhappy must be wrong. That's not a true statement in the scripture. Actually, when we look to the scripture, we see the exact opposite. Usually, if it's right, it's not enjoyable sometimes. Right? Let me explain. Let me explain what I mean. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in prison.
because they came into a town. You can go back and read it later. I'm going to read just a couple verses out of this. But they go, and there's a lady that starts following them, and she has an evil spirit, but she's proclaiming that they're of the Lord, right? Everything that she said was 100% true, but there was a reason why that was not a good thing, okay? So the reason why is because people in town knew that's exactly who she was and what she did. So if they condoned exactly what she was saying, people would lump what she had going on with what God actually was doing, right? There was, you say, how does this work? I'm coming around. I'm going to come to it, right? So they cast the evil spirit out, right? And then the people who made money off of her got really, really mad because they had done that. And what was the end result of that? They ended up being thrown into prison. How many of you know being thrown into prison is not a good thing? Ever, right? Like, even back then, it's not a good thing. Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, and what did they decide to do in the middle of the situation? Say, God, I don't know why we're here, but I love you, and I'm going to praise you in the middle of it. Right? And it says around midnight, they were praising and they were worshiping. They were in a horrible situation, but they were still looking to God for what he was doing. And how many of you know because of that, good things came out of it? Right? Because of them being put in prison, good things happen. Let me show you what happens, right? So, Acts 16, 23 and 24. As we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl. You know what? I'm going to skip some of that. That's 16. I'm just going to go down. That's 16:16. That's where it starts telling you the story. They throw them into prison, and it says this, and when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So they weren't just in jail. They were in the middle of it, in the worst place that there was, and they were bound, hands and feet, right? That's not a good situation, right? That doesn't scream happiness to me. I don't know about you, but it doesn't scream happiness. So we keep on going down, and we read, again, verse 25, it says they start praying, they start worshiping and singing hymns to God, and everyone around was listening. How many of you know sometimes in the middle of our situation, it's the people around us that God is working with and not us? We look at the place that we're at and we say, God, how can we be there? This is crazy. This is not good. This is the wrong place because I'm not happy. Excuse me. I'm not happy. But you know what? God was doing something not in the lives of Paul and Silas at that moment. They loved him. They followed him. They said, no matter where you take me, I'm going to go. It wasn't about Paul and Silas, this story, even though it's told about them. It was about the prisoners that were there. And then let's read in verse 29. 27, 28 starts talking about how the prison doors were open, the earthquake happened, and it came, and the prison guard was about to kill himself because in those days, again, if the prisoner escaped, the person guarding them got their punishment. That assured I didn't just let people go, right? Like, you can't come and pay me and let people go because any amount of money is not worth my life, right? So the jailer is there, and he's about to be like, I'm done. They're gone, man. All these guys are out of here. And Paul and Silas yell out, don't harm yourself because everybody's here. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, they could have been mad because he was the jailer and he put them in there, even though he was just doing what he was supposed to be doing. We could blame him. We could blame all kinds of things. They could have done all kinds of things, but they chose to worship God and to protect everybody around, even the ones they didn't feel like needed to be protected, probably. Right? Verse 29 says this, and the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, trembled with fear, and fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Right? In the midst of this situation, hey, I understand that what's happening here is not normal. How many of you know your lives are not normal? Especially when God is working and moving in them to the people that are around. Amen? They're not normal. They're different. What do I have to do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. How many of you know at that moment, Paul and Silas had some happiness going on? Why? Because they were able to be used by God to bring people to him. Amen. See, this is what happens. Point number two. We see discomfort. We see delay, risk, suffering, inconveniences, and obstacles can't be the will of God. We think that in our minds. When we're going through this, we're like, I must be out of the will of God because look what is happening to me. Now, I'm not saying God wants to put us in those issues. And most of the time, be honest, we put ourselves in those issues and then blame God. We see delay in our situation and we say, God must not be in this. God, why are you not in this? Right? I'm not happy in this situation. Can't you see how unhappy I am, God? Fix it. We see delay. Where do we see that in the scriptures? Exodus 32, 1 and 2. So they're in the wilderness. Moses has gone up to the mountain. And this is what he said. This is one of the ones I added in. It says, when the people saw Moses delay to come down from the mountain, they gathered themselves together to Aaron and said unto him, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of them. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. I put that second verse in there just because I thought it was funny. I used to use that with my dad when I was a teenager because I wanted to have earrings. I'm just being honest. I need to make y'all laugh for a second. I wanted to have some earrings, so I used that. I was like, God's own people, the boys had earrings, Dad. It's okay. And it didn't work. But it was, I figured you guys would like that one. But this is what happens. They saw the delay, right? They saw, they didn't see the end coming. They didn't see the happiness coming. They didn't see the results that they wanted to see. And because of that, they said, this must not be God. We need to do something else. How many times in our lives do we have a delay? And instead of staying the course that God has put us on, that we know is what he wants us to do, we get upset. And so we try to bring about our own way to make it through. We talked about it the other day about Sarah and Abraham, right? We talk about it now here with them. They're saying, this must not be God. Whatever this guy was selling us must not be right. We need to go. Do you know what that shows? There was no relationship with God because they didn't know him. They didn't know him, right? So they went to the priest. The priest did the things that they did. He was in the temple. God's spirit was in the temple. So they didn't get a personal relationship with him. Understand, when Jesus came, that's why he came. Right? To give us a personal relationship with the Father. To restore our relationship with him. We need to worry about it. We need to think about it. We need to think about our lives and what we're doing. The next thing we see in here are obstacles. We allow obstacles to get in the way. Another place we see that same group of people in a little bit later time. So God has come through again. Again, God's feeding them. He's leading them and guiding them, and he's doing all these things. And then he says, hey, I have this place for you to go to, this land of milk and honey, right? Numbers chapter 16, 27 through 33. You can read it later on. It says, this is one of the stories where there were 12 spies sent out to look at the land. They were there for 40 days. They came back, and two of them said, God is good. He gave us an amazing place. And 10 said, there's too many obstacles. We just can't do what God wants us to do. That's the Toby translation of what they said. Read the scripture. You'll see why I translated it that way, right? Why it comes from that way. Two of them came back and said in verse 27, it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruits. It says that they were carrying clusters of grapes that was on a pole in between two men carrying them. They were so, I love grapes. You know, that could be a fun time for me. Like, I'm just being honest. I think grapes are amazing. Especially those new cotton candy ones. I don't know what they do to make them taste like cotton candy. Probably don't. But anyway, back to the grapes, right? They're carrying this fruit. They're bringing them in. And then they say this. You know what? There is The land people there are strong. They do have fortified cities. There's obstacles that are in our way, but God is good. Let's go. Right?
Yes.
Then we see this. Verse 30. Caleb said, quieted the people. This is where I'm at. He said, go before Moses and said, listen. He said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. And then the men who had gone with him said, we're not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. They brought a bad report about the land. Then it says that the land devours its people. I mean, I've heard of sinkholes and stuff, you know, every now and then, but I don't think they're in that part of the country, right? That part of the world. But how many of you know we take our obstacles and we make them bigger than what they truly are in our lives. We make them bigger than what they truly are in our lives. And because of it, we allow the will of God not to be done in our life because we choose not to follow it. And then we bring more problems and issues on ourselves. We allow obstacles to become bigger than our God in our own mind. And then, number three, without knowing it, I begin to worship false gods of comfort, money, pleasure, and things. Because I look for happiness in my life. I look for the easy way in my life. And because of it, I end up walking away from what God has for me and from God, my relationship with Him. I do. I make God about what can you give me to make me happy instead of God, what can I do for you and bring happiness in my life, bring joy in my life. Because this is what the scripture says, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we start to look around at the treasure that we have in our life and what we're stockpiling in our lives, is it things for God? Or is it things for ourselves? Is it things that make us happy? Or is it things that actually take us away from God? And this is what we see. I'm skipping ahead. I'm going to stop. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I bet y'all are really excited to know what it is, but I'm not telling right now. The statement that we have is that, and it's the half-truth, is that God doesn't want us to be happy in certain situations. There are certain times He doesn't want us to be happy. I'm going to show you where, because people get angry when you talk about God not wanting us to be happy. But number one, when it causes you to do something wrong or it's unwise, He doesn't want you to do it. He doesn't want you to be happy. I'm going to be real, and some of you might get upset at this statement, but you'll understand it if you've ever been in my spot. I was a drug addict for several years. Drugs were amazing, but the end was destruction in my life. The good part of what was there never, ever, ever could outweigh the bad part of what was there. Right? And in the beginning, I didn't realize it. See, this is one of the issues that we have. We see everything in short term. Right now. Like Burger King's my way, your way right away, you know? It's never my way and it's hardly ever right away. Right? But that's what they say. Right? There's all kinds of things like we want to see the end right this minute. And we don't understand that what the Word of God says probably most of the time isn't for right this minute, it's for the future, but we only see right now. Let me show you what I mean. Genesis chapter 2, 15 through 17. I added this in, so write it down. Genesis chapter 2, 15 and 17. It says, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. See, we still did work. That was part of the original plan. You know, I've heard it said that we didn't have to work until the fall. We did work. It just wasn't as hard. Right? It wasn't as difficult. We still had things to do. This is what scripture says right there. This is before the fall. This is right before the fall, but it's right there. To work it and to keep it. He was still in charge of things. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. All right? So in the day that you eat it, you will die. So we think, I'm sure they were thinking, if I take a bite of it, I'm going to fall over like I ate poison or something, right? That's not what he was talking about. God wasn't talking about that moment. You understand, with God, a day is as 1,000, right? The scripture that's there. We see right now. But if we read this, man wasn't intended to die. We weren't intended for that. We were intended to live forever with him. That's why one day we'll have glorified bodies. We'll live with Christ. Go ahead and read the end of the book and see all those things that's coming one day for his children. But it says, you'll surely die. And then what ends up happening is in verse chapter 3, 1 through 7, the devil comes with something and he uses some scripture. And like we do a lot of times, they added to the scripture. Adam and Eve. Right? We have a whole list of rules and regulations that you can and you can't do. Right? We do. Other than just the Ten Commandments. Now, are those good to not do? Yeah, I guarantee you, a majority of them you shouldn't be doing, right? If you want a relationship with God and want to walk close to him, follow his spirit. His spirit will never lead you to those places, promise you. So, that just opened a whole new can of worms. I'm going to get to that later, not today, but maybe another time in the future. But this is what it ends up saying. The serpent was more crafty than the beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of the tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of that tree in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, did God ever say, don't touch it? No, he just said, don't eat it. You see, they added to it there. Let's not add to the word of God. Let's not add to what we can and can't do. Let's go by what the word of God says. Amen? Amen. Read the word of God and allow it to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. See, I'm a squirrel for just a second. God gave us the Holy Spirit so we could interpret this correctly. The problem is we don't rely on the Holy Spirit. We rely on other people to interpret it for us. And because of that, we get a false interpretation of what the scripture says. Again, perception. He was talking about it earlier. We've talked about it in the past. Just because I see it that way doesn't mean that's the true reality of what's happening. Right? I can make a comment. That's why I was texting somebody the other day. I was texting and everything I text was being taken completely wrong. That's one reason why I hate text. Because I can put any inflection I want. Dwayne texts me a text. If I'm angry, I can make Dwayne was being angry to me. And he was just like, no, that's not how it's supposed to go. It's supposed to go like this. But because I'm angry, I'm going to hear it. No, you can't do it like that, right? Dwayne's never talked to me like that. At least not maybe through text. I don't know because I can't understand exactly what he means. But sorry. I just told everybody. That's how it is, Dwayne. So next time you get a text from Dwayne, you'll be like, man, I wonder if he was being angry right now. No. How did I get here? Listen, we let the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Holy Spirit teach us what the Word of God says. We need to allow him to interpret the scriptures and teach us and lead us and guide us in what? All truth. That's what the scripture says. That's what the scripture says. God doesn't want us to be happy when it causes us to do things that are unwise. See, he wasn't looking at the short term. You're just going to eat it and fall over dead. He was looking at sin coming into our lives and causing separation and death. That's what God was looking at. That's what God spoke about. But what did Satan come and do? Man, he didn't really say that. No, it's not. Let's look at it this way. Let's compromise in the middle and he didn't really mean it, right? How many of you know if the word of God says that he means it? Okay, I'm glad you guys are with me on that one. The second one, number two. He doesn't want us happy when it is only based on things of this world. When our happiness is only based on things of this world. Because how many of you know there's so much more than what we see here in this world? There's so much more. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of the Father lives forever. Whoever does the will of the Father. See, this is the thing about happiness. Again, I've told you before, it's happiness, it's joy. But I'm gonna do something right quick. I'm gonna do something. I have this other list of things, and I want to talk. So what I did is I Googled. How many of you like the Google machine? I like it sometimes. So I put in scriptures. I put in God wants me happy scriptures. Like I just typed that in the Google machine, and how many know all kinds of stuff comes up. All kinds of stuff comes up. But there's certain ones that had these scriptures, and I want you to see. I want to see. I'm just going to shoot some off at you, and I want you, like, again, if you want this list later, you can come and or just Google it. That's how I find it. But this is what the scripture says about us being happy. Are you ready? It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. What does that scripture have to do with? God putting him in our life. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What does that do? It puts God in our life. The fruit of the Spirit that comes from the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in the hope, but be patient in the tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Right? May the God of hope fill you with joy, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Do you guys recognize a common theme here in all these happy scriptures? Want you to be happy? Psalm 74, may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. 1 Peter, that was Psalms. This is 1 Peter 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you did not now know, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall extol in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress. And as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Psalms 100, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Those are all scriptures about being happy. And they all they come from the Word of God. They tell us where our happiness is supposed to come from. Our joy is supposed to come from. So the thought process of God just wants me to be happy. If I'm not happy, then I must be in the wrong place. If you look in the scripture, that's not a true statement. Amen. Let's not judge our happiness, where we're at in our lives, on the things of the world. Let's not judge our happiness, our lives, on the situation that we're in right this moment. Because God is bringing about some amazing things in our lives. But just like the children of Israel, guess what happened? They were delayed even further. And sometimes they don't even get to come to us because we quit. Because we quit. What I want to tell you this morning is don't give up. God wants to bless you. He wants to give you happiness. He wants to give you joy. But there's a process in receiving anything from God. Right? And if you notice, through all these things, all these scriptures that I read, it comes because we love him, because we seek after him, because we look for him. Again, I'm going to go back to where I was at. Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We started off with this scripture, Psalms 97:12. This is out of the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it. May all who are godly be happy in the Lord and praise his holy name. Do you want to see your life? in a way you've never seen it before. I'm gonna challenge you this morning. Give everything to God. Seek after God, and He will take care of you. He will bring about the end that you're looking for. He will bring about things that you never could have imagined. And let me encourage you in this, and I've said this before, but let me encourage you in this. Don't put God in a box when you pray about your situations. Don't say, God, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to fix it. I want you to fix it like this. Man, look. Why does the scripture say we don't have our prayers are not answered? Because we ask amiss. We ask amiss. We ask for things that aren't a part of God's will and want Him to do it. We put Him in that category where He is a spiritual ATM machine. God, I want you to do this. I want you to do it like that. And this is how I want it done. That's not the way it works. I mean, that's not the way it works. That's not ever the way it works. Let me put that in there to help out. That's not the way that it works. God loves us. I'm His child. You are His child. He wants to take care of us, but He wants us to look to Him to do it. He wants to fight our battles for us, not us. He wants to show us what a father truly is. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, God, I ask that You'd help us see You today. Your word says that if we ask for things, we receive them. If we seek for You, we find You. If we knock on doors, they'll be open. It says that because of sin, we were all separated from You. And that You made a way for us to have relationship with You. You made a way for us to see You. You made a way for us to live a life we never could have imagined in You. There's going to be good times, there's going to be bad times, but You are the God, like the song I was listening to, You're the God in the on the mountains, You're the same God in the valley. And You're going to take care of me as Your child the same way in both places. God, I ask that You would allow us to look to You the same way in both places in our lives. I ask that in the good times that we would rejoice and point to You. In the bad times that we would rejoice and point to You. Not because we're in that bad time, but because what You're going to do in this situation. Because sometimes, again, our situation isn't about us. It's about the people that are around us. Help us to stay right, Father God. Help us to focus on You. Today, you're here or maybe you're watching on Facebook or on the website and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You say, I'm going through rough times. I'm going through miserable times. I don't have peace in my life. You say that He'll give me peace in the midst of my storm. He'll give me calm in the midst of my storm on the inside of me. And I need that more than ever. You be honest and say, I need that today. Just put your hand up. Put it back down. Thank You. Thank You. Anybody else? Thank You. Anybody else? I need that today. Thank You. This, dear Heavenly Father, You saw the hands that were raised. And this morning, we accept the gift. I want you guys all to say, I accept Your gift. Your Son that You gave for me. Thank You for loving me. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that You would let us see You moving and working in our lives. I ask that You would allow us to test the scriptures, the words that are being told to us out of Your word, God. Let us know what's right and wrong, Holy Spirit. We're so thankful that You have come to be a part of our lives, to lead us and guide us. Help us hear You. Help us listen. And in turn, help us see the life that You created for us. Let us have the joy that You give to us that only comes from You. We ask it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Just really quick, man, don't forget our announcements. If you're part of Dr. Steve's home group, you can get in touch with me or Dr. Steve and find out more about it and what we're doing. It's going to be from 6 to 7:30 on the 21st. Now, the 21st is Father's Day. I understand that. It is Father's Day. But that's that. And if you can't make it because of that, that's okay. Let us know ahead of time. But we're still going to do it on that day. I had to ask permission. I was like, babe, it's on Father's Day. Are you all right? She's like, yeah, go ahead. So do what you want to do, Father. That's not quite how she put it, but that's what I heard, right? That's my translation of what she said right there. You know how we do it with the scriptures sometimes? I do it with my wife too. Then men's breakfast, we got stuff going on. Come and hang out. Listen, I've got a couple of projects that we need to do. And so please come. We're not going to stay all day. We're going to hopefully get these projects knocked out and then head to the house, but we definitely need to do some things. Our night of prayer, listen, man, be a part of that if you can. Come and be a part of that. And if you can't be a part of it here, then please do it there. Please pray for the church. Please pray for the people that are in it. Please pray for our government, not just on a Tuesday at a prayer service, all the time, all the time. Remember, it's important, but this is a time where we come together corporately and pray. That's important too. That's important too. Our midweek Bible study, man, you can be a part of it. We're still Zooming a couple people in. If you can't make it here, but you want to come in and be a part of it that way, you can. You will be muted, though, because at my house, the dog barks and different stuff happens. And I don't know about your house, but that's how it works at my house. So we'll let you speak if you'd like to come in. But come be a part of it. Our Wednesday a.m. Bible study, Charles is there. We did Mark chapter 10. We'll be in chapter 11 this week. So come be a part of that. In the evenings, we're in the book of Romans, and we will be in Romans chapter 9 this week, right? Yeah, chapter 9. So be a part of it, and get in your word every day. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Say, I'm not putting a law or a rule or a regulation, but the scripture says, David said, "I hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." You want to know what the will of God is? Get in His word. Let Him put it there. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. With that, I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna stand up and sing one more song as we get ready to go out. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today, your love, grace, and mercy, that we're your children, and that you love us, that you answer us, that we get to be a part of what you're doing. As Christopher said earlier, man, thank you that we get to be a part of your ministry and what you do. Help us be obedient in all the areas that we need to, Father God, and help us find you in our lives more than ever. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Stand to your feet. Let's sing.